Good afternoon. It's 5:06 and 64 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Tanner Boyd.
The more people who decline to get vaccinated, the more risk there is to public health, especially as the new Delta COVID-19 variant spreads.
Kentucky has been ranked as one of the least safe states throughout the pandemic. An area school district is closed this week due to increased infections there. A former Greenham County official has pled guilty to stealing thousands of dollars, and landlords are continuing to sell their properties amid pandemic difficulties. In sports, Rouen Volleyball is back at home this evening, and mostly clear skies tonight with lows around 45 degrees. We'll have a look at your region's extended forecast after this news. A new study ranks Kentucky as the eighth least safe state during the COVID-19 pandemic. In order to find out the safest states during the COVID-19 pandemic, WalletHub compared the 50 states and the District of Columbia across five key metrics. The researchers looked at rates of COVID-19 transmission, positive testing, hospitalizations, and death, as well as the share of the eligible population getting vaccinated. Analyst Jill Gonzalez says Kentucky ranked 51st in hospitalization rate and 41 in positive testing.
The rate of COVID-19 cases is no longer a relevant metric for predicting the pandemic's impact on the economy, though it was before the vaccine. Now that there is a vaccine and a majority of the population has been vaccinated, what really impacts the economy is the share of people with COVID-19 who experience severe illness or die.
The Commonwealth was 40th in the nation for death rate, 29th for vaccination rate, and 22nd for transmission rate. Gonzalez says the state and national economy will not rebound until the majority of medically abled residents are vaccinated. As Kentucky health officials begin to talk about a possible leveling off of COVID-19 cases, a top hospital authority says it may not translate to much relief for healthcare providers and frontline workers. Nancy Galvani, president of the Kentucky Hospital Association, told lawmakers Wednesday that the seriousness of the cases can cancel out the benefit from a resources point of view.
Some hospitals have begun just late last week to see a very slight decline in the number of COVID-19 patients. Unfortunately, all of those same hospitals report they are seeing even higher ICU use for COVID patients, and that most of the COVID patients are on ventilators in the ICU. So while we might soon be approaching a plateau, that shouldn't be taken that we are coming out of the woods.
To complicate matters, the new federal rationing of monoclonal antibody treatments could also drive up hospitalizations as more sick Kentuckians are potentially denied the infusions. Galvani said roughly 95% of Kentucky COVID patients in the ICU are unvaccinated. The state of Kentucky has lost over 8,000 individuals to the coronavirus. Like many Kentucky residents, Sarah Lemp is dealing with the tragedy of losing her father, Vaughn Miller, to the virus. Lemp tells WKYT the hardest part was not being able to be with her father while he was fighting to survive.
The worst part of this disease that I think people are not talking about is the fear and anxiety waiting by the phone every day to get updates. My dad is now a number. When you hear on TV 60 people died in Kentucky today from COVID, he's now one of those numbers. He's a statistic.
Lemp hopes opening up about the loss of her father will encourage individuals to take precautions when it comes to the virus because it could save them or someone they care about. Estill County is closing for the remainder of the week due to COVID-19 issues. Officials with the Estill County Board of Education posted on Facebook Wednesday afternoon the district has seen an increased number of students and staff who have tested positive for COVID-19 or are in quarantine. Therefore, the decision has been made to pause in-person learning for Thursday and Friday this week. Staff will report for a staff work day today, but it will not have to be made up. School will be closed for both students and most staff on Friday. That day will have to be made up. WYMT reports part of the reason is a lack of staff to cover bus routes for the next couple days. Officials say they will use this opportunity to deep clean buildings and buses. District officials are also discouraging children from participating in activities with other children. Landlords are selling their properties after dealing with hardships caused by the pandemic. Officials say this gives a struggling owner a way out, but it's also creating a new issue for those in need of a place to stay. Shay Lamar is with the Lexington Fair Housing Council. She tells LEX 18 they are seeing the displacement in a lot of low-income housing areas.
We'll find places for real cheap in these, you know, neighborhoods. They revamp them and sell them for way more money than what they initially invested. A lot of times this displaces people in those communities.
She says the Lexington Housing Authority has a list of resources for tenants looking for housing. A former Greenup official has pleaded guilty to stealing thousands of dollars from the county. WMKY's Hallie Adams reports.
Bobby Allen is scheduled for sentencing on January 18th in the federal court in Ashland after pleading guilty to charges Monday. Penalties for the crime include a $25,000 fine and a maximum sentence of 10 years in prison. According to court records, Allen pilfered money from Greenup County between 2016 and 2019 while in his position as a Tourism Commission Director in Economic Development. Allen agrees to cooperate fully with the United States Attorney's Office by making a full and complete financial disclosure statement within 30 days of pleading guilty. For WMKY News, I'm Hallie Adams reporting.
Veteran Lexington Urban County Council member Richard Maloney will be seeking another term in 2022. A seven-term representative of Lexington's diverse 11th District and a two-term at-large councilman, Maloney has served in a variety of positions in government, including Chief Administrative Officer and Commissioner of Environmental Quality and Public Works under Mayor Jim Gray. Maloney is also known to part ways with his colleagues on budget and other matters. In June, Maloney was the lone no vote on the city's $400 million spending plan.
And being on this council, there are times that I have voted against the budget because no one could show me how we were going to pay for these new employees. So I want to go on record the reason why I would be voting against this budget today.
At-large council members are elected to up to 3 4-year terms, with the top vote getter taking the vice mayor seat. Maloney currently serves alongside Vice Mayor Steve Kay and fellow at-large councilman Chuck Ellinger. We'll have a look at more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center, offering paper and document shredding services for Moorhead and Rowan County residents, community groups, businesses, and industry. Secure, confidential, and HIPAA-compliant, drop off or pick up by appointment at 784-1250. Located near the Moorhead City Park, the Community Recycling Center, keeping the environment clean and green, 784-1250. Facebook and online at moorheadrecycling.org.
A Republican political operative pardoned by former President Donald Trump has been charged again with campaign-related crimes. WMKY's Keneally Roberts reports.
43-year-old Jesse Benton was accused in an indictment involving a 2016 illegal campaign contribution scheme and a Russian national. The indictment was unsealed Monday in federal court in Washington. Trump pardoned Benton in December after his 2012 conviction in a case involving false records and campaign reports to the Federal Election Commission, according to LEX 18. The most recent case is similar. Benton, who was the former chief strategist for the pro-Trump Great America PAC, and another man were accused of conspiracy to solicit and cause an illegal campaign contribution by a Russian foreign national during the 2016 presidential election. Both men appeared in court Monday. Both were charged with conspiracy to solicit and cause an illegal campaign contribution by a foreign national, effect a conduit contribution, and cause false records to be filed with the Federal Election Commission. For WMKY News, I'm Keneally Roberts reporting.
Consumer advocates are calling for a big-picture, in-depth review of FirstEnergy's spending and governance in light of the company's admissions about a former regulatory official. In a federal court filing in July, FirstEnergy admitted it bribed former House Speaker Larry Householder and former chair of the Public Utilities Commission of Ohio, Sam Randazzo. Howard Lerner is the Environmental Law and Policy Center. He says the payments were in exchange for help furthering the company's interests, including the 2019 passage of House Bill 6, the state's nuclear and coal bailout.
FirstEnergy's payment of $4 million to Randazzo shortly before he took over as chair of the commission tainted PUCO's decision-making process and injected serious concerns of bias.
There are several ongoing cases examining FirstEnergy's political spending. Critics argue each case is limited and are calling for a more comprehensive investigation of the company's operations and spending. And finally, September is Ovarian Cancer Awareness Month. The cancer is known as the silent killer because symptoms are often vague and don't appear until it's too late to treat. Brandi Barker was 18 years old when she was diagnosed with ovarian cancer, and 10 months later, she died at 19 years old. Her family says she began experiencing nonspecific symptoms about 3 or 4 months before she went to the doctor. Dr. Holly Gallion is an OBGYN at Hazard ARH. She tells WYMT some symptoms of ovarian cancer can be swollen abdomen, gaining or losing excessive weight, fatigue, back pain, constipation, or being full from food very easily.
The most important thing you can do, though, if you don't feel right, you go to your doctor, get an exam, and ask them for an ultrasound.
Barker's family says they established a scholarship in her name the year she passed away. It's given to 2 students in band every year that can demonstrate they have gone through something difficult and persevered. And taking a look at the weather forecast for the WMKY listening area, including Rowan, Elliott, and Lewis counties. Tonight, mostly clear with a low around 45 degrees. Tomorrow, sunny, highs near 70. Tomorrow night, mostly clear with lows around 49. Saturday, a 20% chance of showers after 11 a.m. Mostly sunny otherwise with highs near 71. Saturday night, mostly clear with lows around 50. And Sunday, sunny with highs near 73. On our feature segment this afternoon, the Moorhead State Educational Talent Search Programs have received funding from the U.S. Department of Education to continue their mission through 2026. WMKY's Rachel Turner has more.
Moorhead State University has 2 talent search programs, which will serve more than 1,600 middle and high school students in 12 of the 22 service regions over the next 5 years. Associate Director of the program, Summer Bryant, says the program typically serves a certain demographic of students.
70% of our students are low income, meaning they meet the federal guidelines for low income. And then they are first generation. And first generation is classified as neither of their biological or adoptive parents that they reside with have a 4-year college degree.
The program's main goal is to encourage students to complete high school and develop academic skills to ensure their success in college. Bryant says the program provides academic career and financial counseling to its participants, especially high school seniors.
The remaining objectives are tied to our seniors, helping them fill out their FAFSA college applications, helping them enroll in their post-secondary education courses, and then hopefully they graduate with a degree within 6 years of graduating high school.
Counselors in the school play an important part in the mission. They are in the schools 4 days a week, each assigned to a middle and a high school. Bryant says the role of talent search in middle school is key.
Middle school is all about building the relationship between the counselor and the student, letting them know that we are an advocate for them. We are there to be their college and career mentor. So middle school is all about studying skills, time management, building tenacity and grit within the students, helping them be someone who can advocate for themselves.
Brian says education about the variety of possible careers they provide students is connected to the concept of social capital, which is the potential of individuals to secure benefits and invent solutions to problems through membership in social networks.
We are their social capital in a way that we're exposing them to different types, like medical careers. For example, they may only think of a doctor or a nurse, but helping them understand that there are radiologists and there are sonographers and respiratory therapists.
Talent Search also encourages people who have not completed education programs at the secondary or post-secondary level to enter or re-enter and complete post-secondary education. For WMKY, I'm Rachel Turner.
Support for MSPR comes from Papa John's and the Patrick Center, Moorhead. Papa John's made-to-order specialty pizzas include The Works, Garden Fresh, Zesty Italian Trio, and Fiery Buffalo Chicken. Side item menu offers papadillas, chicken wings, garlic knots, and double chocolate chip brownies. Curbside pickup or delivery in Moorhead and Round County. Papa John's phone number is 784-3551 and online at papajohns.com.
It's 64 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Moorhead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Tanner Boyd, here with Wiley Tanner. And we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton studio here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. Sarah Mead has a look at sports coming up, but first I want to say thank you. We are so glad you can spend time with us on this Thursday afternoon.
The Rowan County Senior High School volleyball team is looking for redemption this evening. For WMKY Sports, I'm Sarah Mead. The Vikings are back at home this evening after falling to the Lady Comets in West Carter Tuesday. But while Rowan has the home court advantage tonight, Coach Steve Walters says the Lady Indians won't be making things easy.
Montgomery may have the most talented team that they've ever had this year. I know they've got several seniors and they've got club experience, so that should be a real challenge. And we're hoping to get our fan base out here to help us with that one.
Competition in Moorhead will get underway at 7 o'clock this evening. It's the last day of practice before the Moorhead State University volleyball team enters Ohio Valley Conference play. The Eagles have faced plenty of competition in the preseason and have been dealing with some nagging injuries the past couple weeks. Associate head coach Kristen Becker-McBride says everyone should be game ready this weekend, and the team will be treating OVC play as a fresh start.
So everything we've done for the last 4 weeks prepares us for OVC play. But at the end of the day, our goal is just to continue to get better. And we need to be playing the best in November. That is what will send us to the NCAA tournament. But conference play is obviously a very important part of that. You don't get to the OVC tournament if you don't qualify. So our first kind of big goal is even just to qualify for the OVC tournament.
The Eagles will be in Clarksville, Tennessee to take on Austin Peay tomorrow and Saturday. Friday's matchup is set for 7 p.m. with Saturday's set for 3 o'clock. A member of the Moorhead State University men's golf team has received some Ohio Valley Conference recognition this week. WMKY's Rachel Turner reports.
Following his third consecutive top 20 finish to open the 2021-22 season, Moorhead State's Joe Michonne has been awarded Ohio Valley Conference Golfer of the Week. The honor marks Michonne's first ever weekly accolade in his five-year Eagle career. Michonne finished 16th in a field of 81 golfers at the Earl Yestingmere Invitational at Ball State last weekend. He fired a 213 in three rounds. With his final round 68, Michonne moves up 17 spots on the leaderboard from the second round. Michonne ranks tied for third in the OVC in stroke average, but is first among players who have taken part in more than one event. The Eagles return to the course at the J.T. Poston Invitational in North Carolina on September 27th. For WMKY Sports, I'm Rachel Turner.
Moorhead State Soccer is just a few days out from entering conference competition as well. The team is set to take on Eastern Illinois on the road Sunday. The Eagles haven't been at full strength the past couple weeks due to a couple injuries. Coach Warren Lipka says among those healing has been Evan Kays, who is a major leader in the MSU backfield.
So she's been out a couple weeks. We did get Jenna Setters back, and she's coming back in the attacking side. Everybody else is just a normal mid-season beat-up, you know, sore and that, but nothing too bad to hurt us. Like I said, this week will give us a lot of time to get rested, get our legs back underneath us, and get ready.
Game time against the Panthers Sunday is set for 2 o'clock. The Rowan County Senior High School football team only has one day of preparation left before their next road contest. The Vikings do have some momentum as they head to Scott High tomorrow night, winning their game last week against Greenup County 30-9. There are still some things that need tweaked, however. Coach Kelly Ford says he has been focusing on some necessary defensive adjustments this week.
We still got to play to run. They ran QB power till the Cows came home Friday night. We never did squeeze and read up front. We've got to polish that stuff and start playing with our hands more. Linebackers has got to get in their pass drops. And the DBs has just got to, you know, do their job, keep their eyes out of backfield so we can maintain their zone principles out there and their coverage.
Kickoff from Scott High tomorrow evening is set for 7:30. Morehead State football still has a week of downtime before they get their conference season underway, but Coach Rob Tenure is expecting some great things. The team's record currently sits at 1-2, but the Eagles have had shining moments in each game, including their last two against nationally ranked opponents. Most recently, graduate student Andrew Foster was named the Pioneer Football League's co-special team player of the week. But Tenure says the team is looking to come through on all sides of the football.
You know, defensively, we're establishing a little more depth on that side of the ball. I'm excited about all the guys that we're going to have in the mix. And then, you know, offensively, I'm really excited about all of our positions, especially the depth that we have at receiver and running back and the way Mark Pappas is playing at quarterback right now.
MSU gets to open up conference play at home against Dayton next Saturday. Kickoff that day is set for 2 o'clock. And that's going to do it for sports. For WMKY, I'm Sarah Mead.
Support for MSPR comes from the Ruth Hunt Candy Company, celebrating 100 years of business in 2021. Ruth Hunt's long-term success is proven by using fine ingredients and traditional methods in making their confections. Ruth Hunt is Kentucky proud with traditional candies, Woodford Reserve bourbon balls, and Blue Mondays, sweetening the distance between you and your loved ones. Ruth Hunt Candies in Mount Sterling, Lexington, and anytime online at ruthhuntcandy.com.
And another quick look at the weather forecast tonight. Mostly clear with lows around 45. Tomorrow sunny with highs near 70. Saturday a 20% chance of showers, highs near 71. And Sunday sunny with highs near 73. And that's it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Leanne Akers, Paul Hitchcock, Greg Jenkins, Wiley Tanner, Lakin Hupp, Cassidy Stearman, Allie Adams, Keneally Roberts, Shamari Mosley, WUKY's Josh James, and our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Rachel Turner. Our theme music is composed and performed by Allison Brown. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For all of the MSPR news team, I'm Tanner Boyd for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5:30.